Okay, the scripture reading on this Pentecost Sunday is two selections of Acts. Acts 19:1 to 2. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." In Acts 2, 1-4, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, all of them. This is the reading of the word.
First of all, I do want to say thank you all for wearing your Arsenal red today and supporting the Premier League football team. It is really nice to see all the red. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, the Shaler Library offered this program, and I was so intrigued by the title. It was called, "What Happens When I Die? Where Do My Assets Go?" And when I saw this, I was so excited, and I texted some of you even, and I said, "Oh my gosh, we need to get down there at this meeting and help some people, because there are people in need and they have assets and they don't know what to do with them." And maybe, you know, I have an idea. There's a little church on Butler Plank Road, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But then it started a big worry. Because I started to worry about my own assets. And I looked at my 2013 Honda Civic and thought, well. And I looked at the program for the promoting the program, and it said, "What will you do with your primary residences, your vacation homes, your lands, your stocks, your bonds, and your mutual funds?" And I was so relieved because I thought, that's great. I don't have any of that. I don't have anything to worry about, right? But still, there was that creeping worry ever since then, because I've never been a financial planner. I've never even thought about those kinds of things. I come by it honestly. Neither did my parents, you know. And so every once in a while, I would think, okay, now maybe is the time when you seek out a source that can really help you with this. So this week, I did. I went to Google. And I stumbled across an ad for a financial planner that led with, "You may have assets that you don't even know you have." And boom. It truly was one of those come to Jesus moments for me. It was one of those times when I felt the inbreaking of the holy. It has nothing to do with my assets, financial assets. But it had everything to do with the first segment of scripture that Janet read for us today. Paul meets these people in Ephesus, and he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they were ours. And they said, "No, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." An asset they didn't even know that they had. And I think about us as Presbyterians here in this beautiful church. And I wonder, Presbyterians don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit except for today, the day of Pentecost. Because we know the stereotypes around this particular denomination. God's frozen chosen. Christians from the neck up. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? It takes 8, but half of them have to be ruling elders and teaching elders with an equal parts. You know, I know a lifelong Presbyterian, and he told me that even if Jesus came to his church and played Niccolo Paganini's 24 caprices on a violin with one string, when it was over, he and the rest of them would give a nice little clap like this and maybe a smile. And that's okay. That's okay. But maybe that is why we don't talk too much about this wild part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Because think about the imagery in other scripture. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and what seemed to be tongues of fire came to rest on each of them. I mean, that is scary stuff. That's not stuff you can control or put in the bulletin. Right after the doxology, there will be the violent wind. Then we will greet one another with Christ's love, and tongues of fire will dance upon everyone's heads. Because the truth is that even back then, this was weird. Everyone thought that the people receiving the Holy Spirit were drunk. So I understand why this is strange. The Holy Spirit in Celtic spirituality, while we think of it as a dove, the image for it is a wild goose. Think about all the geese that you see around here, over here in the ball field in the parking lot of Giant Eagle at North Park, and you kind of want to stay away from them because they honk, honk, and they'll come after you. They'll come after you. Imagine the Holy Spirit as a wild goose. But the truth is then that the Holy Spirit is an asset that maybe we didn't know that we had. This counselor, the advocate, the one that offers wisdom, that tugs at our hearts and guides us in the way we were created to go, the way of God. The authors of the Bible have so many words for the Spirit, the helper, the Spirit of truth. And while we know that human words are inadequate for any aspect of the holy, the one that hit me this week was the description that the Holy Spirit is the active presence of God in the world. And if you think about the ways that you have been touched by the active presence of God in the world, I was struggling with this message for today. And I went out and I checked my mail, which is something I never do on the weekend, because usually you get bad mail on the weekend. You can't do anything about it until Monday, and Monday's a holiday, and you know. But I checked my mail yesterday, and there was a card in there from one of you. And it was simply a card of encouragement, a card of kindness, unsolicited. And it was just what I needed right at that moment. And who the person who sent this had no idea what it would mean and when it would hit. And there it was, a gift in my hand, a gift from the Holy Spirit, a sibling in Christ, somebody who really knows me and still loves me anyway. And I wonder if you have had moments when you felt that personal connecting with, to, from the Holy Spirit. But see, it's more than that. The Holy Spirit is the gift for everyone. It's the gift that those folks received on the day of Pentecost when they were able to hear one another despite the different languages, because they heard in God's language, the love language of God, a bond. And that bond ensures us that no one is alone, that no one is apart. And isn't that the key? Isn't that the key to a future here and eternal? Is knowing that we are not alone. I don't know if you've read any of her books, but I'm sure you've heard her name, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She did the studies, many books, but a very famous one on death and dying. And she was meeting with and journaling about the experiences, the feelings of those who were actively dying, terminally ill. And in one particular hospital, she would notice something very interesting going on with her patients at certain times. There were certain times when she would visit her dying patients, and those patients would seem especially tranquil, especially at peace, especially calm. And then as she put it together, she noticed that this was right after a certain member of the housekeeping staff had just left the room. And so one day Kubler-Ross waited, and she went up to this young member of the housekeeping staff, this young orderly, and she said, "You know, what are you doing to my patients?" And the young woman was freaked out at first, and she said, "I'm not doing anything, I swear, I'm not doing anything." And she said, no, it's a good thing. But it's just that after you go into the rooms, once you come out, they seem at peace. What are you saying to them? What are you doing? And she said, I just talked to them. She said, "You know, I had two of my own babies die in my lap. But I never felt that God abandoned me." And so if they're interested, I'll tell them that specific part of my story. But more than that, I just talk to them and listen to them so that they will know that they are not abandoned, that they are not alone, that they don't ever have to be afraid. And that's the active presence of God in the world, no matter what the language that is used happens to be, that presence, that being with one another, and working for the day when all will feel that way. So whether or not we share a language, a gender, a race, the Holy Spirit is present and able. The Holy Spirit's the power through which we can know and live as if we all belong together. Even as prim and proper Presbyterians or Episcopalians, or we all know the Baptists are wild. Although we really weren't. We didn't sway or anything, you know, but we don't need to sway. We don't need to clap. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But let us really make use of this wild, untamed, extraordinary asset that we have in the fiery prodigal spirit. Because with that, we can become the kingdom of God here on earth, so that no one will have to worry about what they need. No one will have to worry either about what will happen when they die, because everyone will know that the Holy Spirit has us all. May it be so. Amen.